Hi, everyone, and welcome to Intuitive Awakening. My name is Dina. Thank you so much for joining me for this week's episode. This week, we have a lovely guest. Her name is Heather Watkins. Heather is a certified 200-hour registered yoga teacher, and she's a Reiki practitioner. Heather began her yoga practice in Kentucky at the University of Louisville with Judy Rice in 1999. She practiced in a corporate setting for 10 years, and it was this practice that inspired her to explore the path of a yoga teacher. Heather is a firm believer of self-care, the mind-body connection, and its impact on physical and mental health. Heather offers virtual one-on-one private and group yoga sessions, and sessions include yoga for anxiety, yoga for athletes, strength, relaxation, insomnia, confidence, and it can include distance Reiki. Welcome to the show, Heather.
Hello.
Thank you for being with us this week. I wanted to know a little bit about your background and what exactly brought you to yoga.
All right. Well, thanks for having me. What brought me to yoga? I guess, you know, I have been into fitness and, you know, running exercise for years and years. And as I got older, really, once I started working in a corporate environment, the stress, but really, I'll take a step back. I started yoga at the University of Louisville, like we said, and I've always described myself when I think about that time as just, I've been a complete user of yoga. I used yoga for a grade. I'd already taken, you know, weightlifting, and there, I needed another credit. So I took yoga, and boy, I was in for such a surprise. Mm-hmm. I loved it. I mean, that's where really, you know, I fell in love with the practice. I had a great teacher, and then put it aside for a while after I got into the corporate world and life just got really hectic and I found myself very stressed, especially just driving in the car. And I started my yoga practice back, just corporate classes at work. And, you know, after being a user for so long, I decided that I wanted to share everything that it was giving me, the stress relief, it's just a different feeling than, you know, I love fitness and exercise, but it was so much more than that.
So for those who are very unaware of what yoga is, can you just explain what is yoga?
Wow, that's a loaded question. I think yoga could be a lot of things to a lot of people. You know, recently I did a presentation on yoga, its history, its benefits, and yoga is over 5,000 years old, but wow, that necessarily wasn't the practice. So what we think of today, as far as what I think of today, to me, yoga, it's a union of the body and the mind, but it started out just being more in the body, movement of the body, which once you quiet the body and the mind, that's when the real union happens.
So I know you said that you took classes at the university, but what else was it specifically that drew you to yoga?
The feeling of acceptance. So I remember sitting in that class. I took that class with a guy friend of mine back then. And I loved my teacher, Judy Rice. And we would get so relaxed in that class at times, laying down. We had blankets, and this was really before people were buying bolsters, which are props for yoga, but they were just inexpensive army blankets. We'd fold them in a T, and she'd have us lay on them a certain way and do breathing exercises. Well, I got very relaxed that day, and I fell asleep. I woke up. The entire class was on the other side of the gym. I was so embarrassed. And I asked my friend when we left that class, I'm like, why didn't you wake me up? And he said, she didn't want me to wake you up. She wanted you. She figured you needed to relax or sleep. And that's what she wanted you to do. And just that sense of just being cared for, it's really, if you don't feel a union with your teacher, then you're not in the right place when it comes to yoga. And that's what really that class did for me.
So I know there are various types of yoga. Can you talk about the types of yoga that you specifically practice?
Sure. I started out just with Hatha yoga, which is a really blanket term for just movement. But when I started my teacher training, dived more into Ashtanga yoga. And Ashtanga is, it's a series of poses. You go in a class with a teacher and everyone is in doing the series, but everyone's at a different place. So you don't practice in union. Everyone's on their separate path. The teacher teaches the poses to you, and as you progress, you learn or get another pose. Mm-hmm. So some people may never pass past, you know, 20 poses, or maybe you do. It's really not just about that, but it's a very physical practice. It probably, I would say for me, it was over an hour and a half of, you know, to get through the primary series, and I loved it, but it was a little rough on my shoulders, a little rough on my back. So I've stepped away from practicing Ashtanga on a regular basis, but I still like the primary series. I still do a lot of things out of the primary series. So that goes kind of back to Hatha yoga. I'm sorry.
No worries.
I've got children calling. What were we saying? That's back to Hatha yoga, which is more just, you know, a flow. I like a vinyasa flow, just a flow between poses where you're not taking too long holding the poses. But I also like more of a yin yoga, which is holding poses for a couple minutes, maybe 3 to 5 minutes. And I found during slow practices such as that, where you're really holding the poses, a lot of emotions come out. You may hear people talk about that, about crying during yoga, and you're thinking, I could never do that. But sometimes when you're holding poses and you're really getting into the body, things start to surface and you may even be surprised.
Interesting. So I know that since you said, you know, you practice those types of yoga, what are the benefits of practicing yoga?
So many benefits. I would say relaxation, anxiety, reduction of anxiety, better sleep. Oh, there's so many. And they build and build as you know, it's just like anything else. Yoga is a practice, just like you can't go out and hit a ball and be a baseball player in one day. So it's a practice and it builds, and the benefits and the experiences build as time goes on.
So what would you say to someone who is interested in starting yoga, but they feel, you know, because they're not flexible, including myself, not flexible, they don't feel that they are equipped to do yoga? How would you encourage them?
Yoga, there is a yoga for everyone. If you can move slightly, there is a yoga for you. And I do hear that. That's funny that you say that. I hear that a lot. I'm not flexible. I can't do it. But that's not the end game. And there's some people on the opposite spectrum that, and they may not know it, but there's some people that are too flexible to where it's dangerous, and they can get hurt more easily because they're hyper flexible. So, get out there and try it. But, you know, right now with things being the way they are, there are a variety of classes that you could take online just to get acquainted with yoga. But I do encourage someone eventually to step foot into a studio, because it's a different experience having a one-on-one, even if it's just in a class and it's not exactly one-on-one, but having someone live and in front of you and being a part of the community is priceless. But just not to be scared, because if you ever go to a class and you don't feel accepted, you're not in the right place, because that's just not yoga. It's truly not.
So how important is it then? How important is your yoga teacher then when you're learning yoga?
It's very important. You have to have a place that you feel comfortable with, you know, a place and a person. If you're not liking the teacher, try another one. And a lot of studios have more than one teachers. You know, it's easy to switch around. Don't stay anywhere where you don't feel comfortable and you don't feel connection. Now, with that being said, you do have to check yourself and check your ego when you get into. I remember being in the corporate setting when I was taking just regular classes, and there were people more experienced in the class, and I would always, you know, you're always thinking like, look at him, look at them, look at that. But your teacher will tell you, it's an inside game. It's an inside game. So you can't really worry about what you can't do and what they can do. It's not about that.
Do you think that yoga is a spiritual practice?
I do, but for me it is, but it doesn't have to be. So, you know, there's yoga for athletes. There's yoga for people that just need to get that stretch, that good stretch, maybe to calm down for anxiety, and it doesn't have to be spiritual. I found it getting spiritual for me. I would consider myself, though, a spiritual person before even starting yoga. So it really just turned it up a big notch for me. It's, I do, but it doesn't have to be.
So since you started incorporating yoga into your life, what lessons has it taught you in life in general?
Well, here's a good one. I am a type A personality, so I'm always wanting to get things done, on to the next, have a to-do list. So with Ashtanga Yoga in the studio, there's a pose, I guess it's not really a pose, but it's a move where you have to jump through. And it's not an easy movement for me. It involves a lot of strength and ab work. And watching everyone do it perfectly, I was really wanting to do it. And that morning, I also had a project due for teacher training that morning, which I just my usual self, even though I'm a get it done, I'm also a procrastinator. So I procrastinated on doing my project. So I sat at the beginning of my practice, hands to my heart, thumbs to my chest, and prayed for guidance on getting focused and getting my project done, and went on through my practiced the slide through, and that day I broke my toe, my pinky toe. And so as I was sliding through fast, because I'm like, I'm going to learn how to do this, my toe grabbed the mat and went backwards. My body went forward, and I knew it. I've never broken anything, but I knew it. I looked at it. And so I was really hurting, and my toe was really big and weird looking. And I thought, oh, wow. But you know what? That lesson, there were two lessons there. One is you cannot hammer things in with yoga. You can't rush it. And as my teacher would say, Laura Spalding, she told me, she said, there is no deadline to this pose. There's no deadline, Heather. Mm-hmm. And that was a good lesson. And so, it's always something that I like to remind my students is just practice, as Patabi Joyce would say, the founder of Ashtanga Yoga, practice and all is coming. But it did give me time that day. It gave me time the next few weeks to go ahead and get that teacher project finished, because I was not practicing much yoga. And I actually began my work at home career then. I didn't know it at that time, but with a broken toe in November through December, it was really cold. All my pants were long because I wear heels and I couldn't go downtown and work. I couldn't even get a flat on. So wow. I ended up working from home, and here I am.
So can you talk or share some of your personal experiences using yoga to manage pain in general, and, you know, specifically back pain?
Yes, back pain. I'd never had back pain. I've pretty much been lucky throughout my life until I got in my late mid-30s and had my daughter, Ariana. And after that, it was a very challenging pregnancy. I was on bed rest and once we got done with that, childbirth was hard. And I thought I was all done with that. But afterwards, my back was killing me every day. Every day I would get out of the bed and my back was old lady sore. I mean, it hurt to extend my legs and burning sensation. And I went through this, Dina, I don't know why, but I waited 6 years. I went through back pain. Wow. For 6 years, and it got easier, but finally, and it really does reflect back on the healthcare system, in my opinion, because I finally got to the point where I met a deductible, a $6,000 deductible, and I decided I'm going to figure out what is going on with my back. But in the meantime, I had already started using yoga for back pain. And I went to training actually with some people. And that's one of the things that my teacher would always tell us. Your pains, the things that hurt on you will make you a better teacher because you know how it feels and you can help people with the same similar situations. So it's not always being in perfect health and being a yoga teacher. If you have pains, you know what helps. And you can help other people by using what you've learned through your pain.
Yes, I can imagine that is true because, and I'm sure you're completely aware, there are millions of people in the United States who have not just back pain, but all sorts of physical ailments. And I imagine that yoga can help instead of having to go to, you know, pharmacy, which is what we traditionally kind of do in America.
Yes. And here's the thing, though, and this is what some people may not get. It never eliminated all my pain, but it made it a lot more manageable. Mm-hmm. And I am a person that doesn't like to take like an ibuprofen. I don't take much OTCs. I mean, I might if I really need to, but not much. So it never eliminated things. You know, I'd rather use like yoga and then heat or cool, like a hot pack or a cold pack. But, you know, I think there's expectation that there's a cure-all for everything and anything, and it needs to go away. And it's not really like that. And I do believe with my whole heart that one day I will become pain-free in my back. You know, there's a lot more going on than just physically. I do believe that your emotions affect your physical health as well. And yoga helps with that too.
Yes. And so I know that yoga, yes, can help with the physical ailments, but I'm wondering what your just general overall opinion is about yoga for clearing the mind, because like everybody else, you know, we all have a lot going on in our lives. And for some people who are, like you said, type A, who are driven more by, you know, by the mind, by the thought system, how can yoga help to slow us down and bring us like more awareness or make us feel calmer?
For sure. Breathing. Well, the practice of yoga is heavy on breath, and there's many different breath practices. That's one. And I would say that's a big one. That's how I manage my getting in the car and feeling really stressed out, thinking about, okay, I tell people to breathe all the time. This is what I need to do right now. I need to practice my yoga off the mat. So taking your breathing practices off the mat and applying them to life. But also Shavasana has helped me. And Shavasana is that last pose. That last pose in yoga when you lay on your back after the whole class, whether or not it was a stressful, like not necessarily stressful, but maybe it was a vigorous class or maybe not. But every class just about ends in Shavasana. And if it doesn't, you don't skip out on Shavasana. It's the last and most important pose. So you lay down on your back. Typically I do palms facing up. You let your feet go out to the side and just relax the body. And a lot of times your instructor may walk you through releases and ways to think and relax the body. And then there's this time where there's nothing but silence and you either sit there and wonder and your mind's going 1,000 minutes a mile, kind of like in meditation maybe. And then there's other days when you go somewhere And that's really how I learned, a type A like me learned how to meditate. I didn't know that's what I was learning at the time, but I was learning to quiet my mind and my body. And it didn't happen every time, but it's gold.
So I have a question that brings me to something. In terms of the relationship between yoga and meditation, some people might think, oh, you have to know how to meditate to do yoga. Is that the case?
Absolutely not. Again, you can just be an athlete and do some yoga to stretch or relax out, to get those body parts a little more flexible, or you can do yoga it's whatever reasons, whatever you need. It meets you where you're at. And that's why it's another important to find what, really think about what you want and look at the studio or the instructor and see, and also change and maybe do different classes. It's always good to change classes or do multiple classes and learn different ways.
Definitely. I wanted to move on to talking to you about Reiki. Number one, how did you learn about Reiki, and what brought you to being a Reiki practitioner?
Yoga. So, again, I think, and I'm not certain, but I think it wasn't my back. So it was before my child. I was in yoga and I had a physical ailment and I was worried about it. And I thought, I think I've been stressed and I think that I have manifested a physical problem, not a big one, but anyway, and I was looking, researching. I'm a big researcher, Googling, looking all around. And I'm like, Reiki. And then I saw cranial sacral therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I want to know more about these. And I asked my yoga teacher, and she's like, oh, one of my best friends is a cranial sacral therapist. You should go see her. And so I'm like, yeah, let's do it. So I went, and now this is cranial sacral therapy. I will get back to Reiki, I promise.
No problem.
I went and it was mind blowing. I had no idea really what it was all about. I mean, just what I read off the internet. And we get there and she's like, she had me close my eyes and asked me if I could feel this energy. And I am intuitive, but I didn't feel anything. So again, no expectations, laid down, got comfortable. And the first thing I felt like I needed was something over my eyes. So she found something, and the session was like kind of like what I talked about with yoga, where emotions came out. I saw colors. It was so, I don't even have words for it, but amazing, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of it, she gave a little reading, an intuitive reading, and she was right on. And it was life altering. And I thought, well, I would like to do that. But then I looked it up, and the qualifications to be a cranial sacral therapist was a little bit more than what I just felt like there was a little bit of liability, too much liability for me, with manipulations in the back of the head and the skull. So I thought, well, I'm going to try Reiki out. And mm-hmm. So I ended up trying Reiki and loved it. And that's how I became a Reiki practitioner.
What was your first experience when you went to go have a Reiki session? What did it feel like for you?
Okay, give me a minute. I've got to think where did I get Reiki first?
I love this question because I have met a number of people who are practitioners and people who have received it, and I've gotten so many different responses. So I'm just curious, was it a physical sensation? Did you see, what was the experience like?
I'm thinking that I had Reiki in with that cranial sacral therapy, and the sensation, the warmth, but it also, the first time, it was a lot of emotions. It was like an opening of a channel almost. It was so many. I cried. I was so hurt, but then I felt happy. It was like going on a little ride, and slightly clairvoyant, but I that was kind of the beginning of it. It's almost like the opening of that a little bit. So I was just seeing more colors and then a lot of emotions, and not as much of as the warmth in the cold as some people would describe it now, or that I feel when I now with my hands.
So when you went to have your first attunement to become a Reiki practitioner, can you describe that? I've worked with a number of people who, you know, had various attunement processes, and I'm just so interested in what it was like for you to become attuned to this form of healing.
Okay. Yeah, it was nice. So the woman that I had my attunement through, that's all she does. And she's very well known in our area her name is Joanne Utley. And so I had went to a session there, like she does introductory sessions where you could go in. It's a Reiki share. It was a Reiki share, and you go in and learn about it. And then you can receive some Reiki at that. And then I decided to go ahead and go through it. And it was on a weekend. It snowed that weekend. I didn't want to get out. We don't get a lot of snow here. We're not used to it. I know you're probably more used to it than we are. You would laugh at the amount of snow it was, but so we all sat in there and we all became friends. You know, there was just probably about four of us, and there's still one girl that from that class that sends me, like, every once in a while she'll just check in with me. But it was very nice. It was, you know, it's the same thing that yoga teacher training was for me. It didn't feel like school, or there was no burden to it. It was so interesting to learn and so neat to learn, very engaging. But I've always, you know, I am not at the master level yet. And I was getting ready to go recently, and then, you know, here we are. But I'm very curious to see, just like I was curious that day to see what the attunement process was. Like, what's she going to do? But you don't really know because your eyes are closed, right? I mean, you feel it, right? And we journaled about it and all that good stuff. But I look forward to being on the other side of that too.
So how do you combine Reiki with yoga?
What I do, and I never had the intention, I never knew if it would ever, that I would ever mix the two, but I do. I add Reiki in to Shavasanas if anyone is open to it. So what I might say at the end of the class is, if anyone would like Reiki, let me, when you're in Shavasana, have your palms facing down. And then that way I would know, and then usually tell them a little bit about what Reiki is. It's just energy work. It's just energy. Nothing. Anyone can be attuned to Reiki. It's nothing special. No one has to have a special gift or anything like that. And a lot of times you may feel warmth in the body or cooling sensation. It's very relaxing. It's not affiliated with a religion. And so by doing it though, I've seen people that have learned to really, really enjoy it and love it. So it's fun sharing it, but I've also learned more about Reiki itself, because you can feel who is open and who is not. Even though they might say they're open, Reiki flows differently to anyone, especially if they have any kind of hesitation. And a perfect example of this was at a studio that I was working in, the owner had come up with her sister, and they wanted some Reiki at the end. So I was sure. And I could not feel anything with them. And I felt comfortable enough to ask them, because usually when I say I couldn't feel anything, I can feel the heat in my hands, mm-hmm. or I could feel it flowing like kind of like electric between my hands into their body or head or wherever I'm at. And so I just asked her, I said, do you not think that Reiki works? And she was like, I may have not said it like that, but pretty much that's what I was getting at. And she had said that she was just had a hard time relaxing, and she was thinking about a lot of things and a lot of things on her mind. And that I could definitely sense, because it was not flowing. And then on the flip side of that, I have a good friend of mine who's very open. We're very similar, very spiritual. And it's nothing wrong that, you know, if you're not spiritual, but I don't want to sound like that. But I had given her Reiki one time, and I felt it throughout me. It was mind blowing. It was totally different. It's almost like I was getting as much Reiki as she was.
So when you are in your yoga class, teaching classes, how many people, when you talk about Reiki, how many people have you found to be familiar with Reiki in general, knowing what it is, or have you found that a lot of people are still not familiar with this healing practice?
They don't really say. I'm not sure. I've never really asked it. It's just, you know, I offer it up and most people want it. Now, some people don't, and I always respect that. But I never really know one way or the other if because I don't really ask. But I'll tell you, I have had like one student in particular that probably wasn't that familiar with it. And now they look forward to it. I mean, they really like it. And I love giving it back.
Do you feel like Reiki in general and, you know, providing this healing to other people, do you think it's had any impact on your life? Has it taught you any lessons in general?
Well, I got a couple things I can share about that. So one, energy is so real and so, I guess, not available always to the naked eye. There's so much more going on. And Reiki is a true example of that. Just is. I mean, once you try it, especially if you've had it more than once or when you feel it, I don't know if you've had this experience. Have you ever given Reiki and you had some extra friends or help behind you? Like I've given Reiki and felt someone behind me. It would scare me. It scared me the first time it happened. I was like, oh my gosh, what is this? But it's light. So it's nothing to be scared of. It's positive, but there's so much more going on vibrationally than we people that stay very busy and don't relax we're not aware of at the time.
Exactly. I completely agree with that. I will say that when I've shared Reiki with people, I think only one time I had a similar experience to you at the very beginning, but actually my sister is also a really great Reiki practitioner, and she always says the same thing that you just shared, that she always feels like there's somebody there with her, like she can literally feel them standing next to her when she's doing it. So I think that, I don't know who it is, I trust it. I imagine it must feel pretty alarming at the moment when you're, you know, trying to focus on that. But I do think, you know, Reiki is kind of, whether you receive it or give it, I think it's some sort of gateway, and I think it offers an opportunity for people, like you said, to recognize that there's a lot going on that's not available to the naked eye, that other things are coexisting at the same time. It's just we have to slow down enough to see it and be present with it.
For sure. And I'll tell you something else that I've learned from playing with energy and Reiki. So as I mentioned, like in the car, I tend to get pretty flared up in the car. It's a source of stress. And as I've gotten older, I've realized I'm anxious in the car. And I used to drive downtown every day. And that drive, even though it's like just a 20-minute drive, takes almost an hour. And I'm sure just bigger cities, that's not much. But for me, that's a lot. And I was just finding myself so stressed. So what I started doing, and my husband, he would laugh at me, but I would draw one of my Reiki signs. I would do it with my hand, just with my finger. And that was good for a while. But then what I started doing was working with the signs and visualizing them. So I would surround myself with them. I would put one in front of me, one to my right, one to my back, one to my left. And a long time ago, I used to try to put one underneath me, and that never worked. And I talked to my friend about that, another Reiki practitioner, and she's like, well, quit doing it. But I'm like, try it. Can you do it? Does it work? I could never put it underneath, but that tells you something, that there's something there. But as I practiced doing this, I started to be able to feel the energy once I completed the sign. And sometimes before I even had the whole sign visualized out, I could feel it like come like pass through me almost.
Wow.
Pass to the front, to the side, to the back. And I feel like with Reiki, you can work with the energy in ways that resonate with you. It's just like anything else. Like, you know, a lot of people want to know, how do you sage? And yeah, there might be a certain way that you might smudge your house, or there might be a certain way that you do yoga. But once you practice and you learn what you like or what comes intuitively to you, it will work with you.
Right. And that's completely, and that's so true, because a lot of people do look for one specific way, like you said, as an example, to clear your space. And you have to tune in to figure out what the appropriate method is that works with your own energy, what feels right for you in general. And I wanted to ask you really quick, given what you just said about working with the symbols, even in the car and drawing them out, have you ever used the symbols, let's say, to, and this is probably a ridiculous question, but it just kind of came to my mind. Do you think it's possible to utilize the symbols, let's say, in water, like if you're taking a bath, to help increase like soothing energy or clearing energy or something to that extent? I don't think I've ever really thought about using the symbols except for in the traditional way. So this is really interesting to me.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, when you said water, I just got bath, and I've never tried it in the bath, which would be really good, like when you're running the water, to beam it in there or draw it on there. But I have done it with, and you know, it was part of my training, with my drink or with food. Mm. And I recently did even, I do a lot of, I piddle with a lot of things. So I did a little YouTube video on energy, energy in the kitchen. And I think that's the same way, even if you didn't use the symbols, even if you just cook mindfully, and that's where you can start out with people the same way with yoga or anything else. Just having that mindfulness and cooking with love, and then adding symbols or whatever works for you, it does make, and the power of prayer too, it all puts a different energy into whatever activity, whether it's eating, bathing, driving, when it's mindfulness.
Yes, it really is. And out of curiosity, given that you're in Kentucky, how accepted is yoga and Reiki?
You know, more, you see it more, but I think, and I'm not sure how it is anywhere else with Reiki. I think there's a lot of people that just think it's absolutely, you can look it up online and see someone saying, oh, it's a hoax.
Right. But,
and if you're not open to it, it's not going to work. I mean, if you're close to it, it will not work. But Reiki probably closed, but there are plenty of practitioners. And I think a lot of people, it's sad. It really is sad that a lot of massage therapists, I think, are energy workers. And a lot of them probably attuned to, I'm making some assumptions here, attuned to Reiki, but they wouldn't probably just advertise as Reiki only.
I completely agree with you 100%, especially with massage therapy. I think that they're attuning to a similar type of healing energy to work with their clients to help with, I guess, managing pain.
Right. Now, yoga here, it's accepted. It's totally accepted. I mean, I was really lucky with the studio that I went through my teacher training. They've been here since 1974. And even, that's Yoga East. And even my teacher, Judy Rice at U of L, she's deceased now, but she was very, I've been so lucky to have the teachers that I've had. Just now, I did research Yoga East. I didn't just stumble upon them, but with Judy Rice, she was very well known in the yoga community back into the 70s here in Louisville. So we do have some people that are well-versed in yoga, and I feel lucky for that. But yeah, it's probably not like California.
So I wonder your thoughts about this just in general, and I think I question this for myself, just really quickly going back to Reiki. Why do you think, and maybe I'm wrong about this, why do you think this type of healing, this energy healing, because I feel like it kind of came out of nowhere, or it all of a sudden became very popular Why do you think that is? Why do you think all of a sudden there's these new modalities of healing that's popping up and becoming popular on the planet?
Well, I think it's because the consciousness is expanding and opening up. So people are more open and looking for it, getting attuned, finding it, finding people, talking about it. One thing leads to another. And that's some of the, you know, also when you think about yoga, people, you ask if it's spiritual and you'll see some like Christians against yoga or it all kind of goes hand in hand, but it doesn't have to. It can all be a la carte, all physical. But I think once you sit in the physical, the spiritual does open up.
I completely agree. I think, like you said, maybe I didn't put it this way for myself, but yes, consciousness, I think, is expanding, and maybe we're kind of getting more knowledge in terms of what's available to us. And maybe there's more knowledge in terms of we can actually do more than we think.
And there's also more acceptance. People aren't taking shame as acceptable anymore. If you don't like what I do, then look away. you don't have to be here. I think people are more of freer these days than they were 20, 30 years ago to be themselves or look at something or not worry about what someone in their family or one of their friends thinks.
I think that's completely true too. There has been a definite shift from maybe even the 80s and maybe even early 90s. And yeah, maybe people are feeling more empowered and more free to express their own beliefs now. And it seems like it's good.
Yeah, I think that word empowered that's a good word for it.
Yeah, definitely. So Heather, do you have any recommendations in terms of books people can read if they're interested in just starting out with yoga or researching yoga?
Yes, I do. So let's see where to start. Let's go to traditional first. We'll start with traditional first. So the Yoga Sutras, now this is more, we're going to start with philosophical and kind of that part of yoga. The Yoga Sutras of Patanjali is an awesome, awesome book. And I have one that's, let's see, I'm going to see if I can say this, translated by Sri Swami Sachinanda. That book right there is a short book, and it has the sutras of Patanjali, but then it has commentary, and it's very practical commentary. So it's a pretty easy read. And it's loaded, but it's just good. Next one, Light on Yoga by Iyengar. Now this book is dated. So the pictures in it are black and white and they're of Iyengar, but it is like a little Bible of yoga. There's all kinds of poses. And then the back of it's set up to where you can say, okay, so yoga for anxiety or yoga for digestion. And you can go to all the poses in the book. And I'm sure they probably have a modern day yoga book like that. But I chose a traditional path with my training. I don't think we talked about this. With my training with yoga was very traditional, and I wanted it that way. Just like with Ashtanga, you can't be authorized to just go. Like, I could not be an Ashtanga teacher right now because I have not been authorized by Mysore, the Joyce family in Mysore. So I kind of like the traditional, not to get on a tangent, but I think Light on Yoga is traditional, and it's a good place to be. And then what else do I have? The Healing Power of the Breath. Now this isn't on yoga, but this is more the breath. But anyone that has anxiety and is really looking for ways to get rid of anxiety naturally, might not be ready to step into yoga, but just interested in breath work. That book comes with a CD, and it's a little awkward listening to it, but It's very good. There's studies in the book. It's an easy read again. And there's studies in the book that talk about places where there's been mass trauma. And say, like, after there was Haiti was in there. Was it an earthquake in Haiti?
Yeah.
That was in there, and many just places that were really devastated. And after the Red Cross and after everyone leaves, these people still didn't feel good. So what they did was they came in and they taught these breath practices, these practices that these people could live with and do every day to help them after everyone left. And they are, it's a whole backpack of things. So there's many different practices, and you can put them all together. Great book.
Wow, that sounds really interesting. I'm definitely going to check that book out.
Yeah, it is good.
So Heather, if people want to connect with you or book a private session, how can they reach out to you?
They can go to, they can send me an email, which is at
from the heart. fromtheheartreiki@gmail.com.
gmail.com. Then go there, or you can always send me a message on Facebook, From the Heart Yoga Reiki Life, and or on Instagram.
Perfect. And you work with people who are, you know, from beginners to advanced, correct?
I do.
Awesome.
Right now, go ahead.
Oh no, please continue.
Now, right now I have been working. So I've done a few different things. I've worked in a gym. Not really worked there, but did classes in a gym. I did a sublease a spot out and did classes there. And then right now I am at a salt room down the road, and I love it. So it's a little mini room. So it's not like the salt rooms that you see that are made of like 100% Himalayan salt. It is one that where medical grade salt, there's a machine and it's infused through the machine. And we do some regular yoga, but then it's a restorative. We end in restorative, and I love teaching that way. But yeah, I can do all kinds, and I like to do one-on-ones as much as I do groups. I've made some great friendships and connections.
Awesome. Well, Heather, thank you so much for joining me today. I really enjoyed our talk, and I appreciate you being here.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me on. I've always been one of your fans, so I'm honored.
Oh, you're very, very sweet. And everybody, thank you for joining, and have a great week. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.